Alrighty, this is week two, class three. We're talking about intercession, TH307. Now, we just finished about the intercession of Jesus, so again, to review very quickly and briefly. We're not talking about, when it talks about Jesus making intercession, it's not talking about Jesus praying the way we pray to get things done. It's essentially, it's talking about Jesus being there, being our intermediary and enabling us to come before the Father so that we can make our petitions known and so forth. Now let's talk about the Holy Spirit and intercession. Now we've talked a whole lot about praying in tongues, and you know, some people have said I can't teach a course without talking about praying in tongues somewhere along the line. And I stand in agreement with that. Hallelujah. But you know, thing about it is, you know, I know it probably frustrates a lot of people. You know, don't you know anything else? Well, yeah, I do. But praying in tongues is what has gotten me to knowing what I know. See? So, that's why I keep taking people back to this, because it absolutely is foundational to, you know, everything. You know, once you get born again. In fact, I'll just share a testimony with you the other couple weeks ago in church. Did I say this? Share this already? About the guy? Did I share it last week? Okay. Well, never mind. Say it again. Okay. Well, anyway, I preached a message, and the crux of it had to do with praying in tongues, and gave an altar call for salvation, and a guy came forward to be born again. Well, you know, normally you expect something like that when you're preaching, you know, turn or burn. But anyway, he comes up and prays, and I could sense absolutely no religious resistance on the inside whatsoever. So I immediately just started talking to him about being Jesus baptizing in the Holy Ghost and tongues and all that. And you want? He said, yeah. And so I prayed, and he starts praying in tongues. And, you know, praise God. I mean, it just happened right then. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to happen. And the reason it doesn't happen like that a lot, most of the time really, is because a lot of folks have a lot of religious tradition on the inside of them. Because, see, how many of you know you can be raised in church and not be born again? But you can still have traditions embedded in you. I mean, the proof is right in the Bible. They weren't born again, but they had traditions embedded. Well, the same thing can be true today. And likewise, it can be very difficult to get people who are born again filled with the Holy Spirit because of religious traditions. And sometimes it takes, you know, a lot of teaching and education. But anyway, praying in tongues is absolutely vital when it comes to intercession. Look in John chapter 12. You know, it's amazing to me, and I can say this in this class because you've already been through everything else that, you know, we've had, and it's just amazing to me how that there are so many people in the body of Christ. You can walk them through Scripture, and you can show them explicitly what praying in tongues will do, and they still don't want it. They still don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To me, that is mind-boggling. Once you find out what is available to you through praying in the Spirit, why wouldn't you want to? We're not talking about joining a cult. We're not talking about killing animals. We're not talking about, you know, kidnapping children or anything. We are talking about a relationship with God. So once you know what this will do for you, why wouldn't you want that? Well, two things: tradition and fear. So what's there to be afraid of? When's the last time God whooped you for wanting more of Him? You see, this makes no sense whatsoever. Well, bottom line is, it's just demonic deception. That's all it is. But boy, praise God, aren't you glad that we all got past that demonic deception? Hallelujah. Well, in John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Now let me kind of show something to you here in this. In essence, Jesus is saying, the Father's told me what to say, That's what I'm speaking. Now, I know His commandment is life everlasting. Or another way maybe to say that would be, it's His will for everyone to receive everlasting life or to be born again. Okay? Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Okay? Jesus is saying volumes here. He's saying, look, the Father tells me what to say, and I turn around and repeat it to you. Now, I know that it is His will for everyone to be born again. Well, now, we know this. The Bible tells us that Jesus went around preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God. And notice, think about it now, there's really only one time that He mentioned being born again. And that was in John chapter 3. No other place in the four Gospels do you see born again other than in John chapter 3. Now, it's kind of alluded to in a few places, but essentially Jesus was teaching kingdom principles. Now, if it's the Father's will, commandment, for us to be born again, and Jesus was teaching kingdom principles, that means the Father was telling Jesus, teach kingdom principles. Since it's the Father's commandment for us to be partakers of everlasting life, and Jesus is speaking about kingdom principles, that means there's a direct connection between us living according to the fullness of everlasting life and kingdom principles. Remember when Jesus made the statement, my words are spirit and they are life, okay? So therefore, when He says, the Father's telling me what to say and I turn around and I give it to you, therefore, my words aren't simply to be born again. My words are about the life after being born again. My words are life words connected with everlasting life that you receive when you're born again. I'm receiving this instruction from the Father and passing it on to you. Now turn over to John chapter 16. Jesus says in verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now, verse 13, doesn't that sound a whole lot like what Jesus just said about Himself? The Father tells me what to say, and I say it. I don't speak of Myself. I speak what the Father tells me to speak. Then He turns around and He says, now, not only that, but the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He's not going to speak of Himself. He's going to speak that which He hears. Okay, now, who do you think is telling the Holy Spirit what to say? Well, if we look at it like this, John talked about how Jesus would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. So think of it kind of like this. And I know it's not exactly this way, but it just helps maybe to get an image. Here's the Father, and he'd been telling Jesus what to say. And Jesus hears it from the Father, and He turns around and He tells all the people. Well, Jesus is gone, but now the Holy Spirit has come. And Jesus said, but the Holy Spirit is going to be like me. He's not going to speak of Himself, but He's going to speak what He hears. So here's Jesus, and the Father is telling Jesus what He wants done, what He wants said. And Jesus is hearing that, and then He turns around, and He's telling the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is hearing that, and He turns around, and He tells us, if we give Him the chance. If you don't give Him the chance, how's He going to be able to convey it to you? Do you see what I'm saying? Now, it says right here in your outline, the Holy Spirit speaks the words of God. Well, y'all know where I'm headed on this one. When He speaks the words of God, He's speaking words of life. When He speaks the words of God, He's speaking words relative to the kingdom. Now, that's kind of a big umbrella term to use right at the moment. But He's speaking words relative to kingdom. Kingdom living, kingdom life. You know, however we would want to put that. Now look in Romans chapter 8. And I can tell you right now, if tradition didn't have a hard time with what we taught in the last session, tradition will in this session. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, we've talked about this before, how that verse 28 is preached about car wrecks and people getting killed and, you know, bombs and wars and all these other kinds of things. That is not what verse 28 is talking about. But now let's look at this. He says in verse 26 that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Our ability to pray exactly how we should is limited by what we know. Do you understand that? Every time we pray in accordance to what we know. Now think with me for a moment. We'll use this example. You know, I use healing as an example for just about everything, but it seems to me so perfect. How many of you can remember years ago when you prayed as far as healing was concerned, you would pray, "Father, if it be thy will." Remember that? Why did you do that? That was all you knew, right? Even though Scripture talks about by His stripes you were healed, that was all you knew. So that's how you prayed. Well, now here we are a few years later, and we understand, oh, how silly of us. How could we have ever believed such a foolish way to pray? Why, we know better now. We are so far along. We now know that it is God's will to heal. So now instead of praying, "If it be thy will," we say, "Father, we know it is your will. Therefore, by faith, we call Joe healed," or, you know, however it would go. We're praying how we know. We're praying to the extent of our knowledge and our understanding. But the Holy Spirit has no such limitations. See, as we grow in the Lord, we're going to come to greater and greater knowledge and understanding of kingdom principles. Well, the more kingdom principles we know and believe, it's going to have an impact on how we pray. It'll make a difference in the way that we pray. We'll start praying more and more in line with kingdom principles, kingdom life, okay? Well, the Holy Spirit, He's the third person of the Godhead. He has no problem when it comes to knowing what to pray and how to pray. He's giving to us, or He wants to give to us, information that's related to life. Information that's related to kingdom principles and kingdom living and so forth. Now, since He knows God's perfect will for every individual and for the entire body of Christ when it comes to praying, that's how He's going to pray. He knows what is best for you, and He knows what is best for me, and He knows the role that we play in accomplishing what God wants. Do you understand that this changes from generation to generation? That the people who were alive 100 years ago, they fit differently into the body of Christ than what we do. You say, "Well, how do you figure that?" Well, simple, because they were alive and we weren't. Now that we're alive, if the Lord tarries, the people that will be alive 100 years from now, they fit in differently than the way that we do. But now here's the ironic thing about it. Every generation, there really, technically, is never an end to a generation. There is an end to a span of years. But right now, children are being born. You understand there are 50-year-olds, there are 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 20s, and all the way down. And there are babies that were just born today. Well, 50 years from now, they will be fitting into the pattern or into the framework of the body of Christ and what the body of Christ is supposed to accomplish, based in part on what we have done in our lifetime in the body of Christ. Maybe a good example would be this. A church gets established, and the guy pastors it. He started it, he pastors it until he's 80 years old, and then he hands it over to a 30-year-old. And then he pastors for 50 years, and then he hands it. Well, you know, after a while, the people that are in that church are not the people that are there when it started, but the people that were there when it started help set a pattern for the people who would be there 100 years from then. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, the same thing is happening right now in the body of Christ. What started on the day of Pentecost? You know, there's been this constant change, this constant, you know, more pieces of the puzzle and this, that, and the other, to here we are today. And what we're doing is going to facilitate what's going to be done in the future. But we don't know how that works. We don't understand the fullness of that. See, right now, here we have this Bible college. We have no idea how this Bible college fits into 50 years from now in the body of Christ. We can only see what's happening right now. But boy, the Holy Spirit, He knows better. He not only knows the now, He knows the 50 years from now. And He knows the 60 years from now. The church that you're going to, He knows what you're doing in that church. And we're just making an assumption that you're in the church you're supposed to be and doing what you're supposed to be. He knows what you're doing now and the way that it's going to impact the next pastor and the next youth group and the next group of single adults and the next choir. You see what I'm saying? He knows how you're supposed to fit into all of this so that the next group can pick up and carry on. He's the only one that knows, though. We don't. So where it talks about we don't know how we should pray as we ought, there are times we don't even know how we should pray as we ought for our own life, for tomorrow. Do you understand what I'm saying? And truth of the matter is, think about it. We do not know what tomorrow holds unless somehow tonight God gives you this incredible divine revelation of what every second is going to bring tomorrow. You don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring, but the Holy Spirit does. So when it comes to praying about our ministry, our family, anything that pertains to us, our calling, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the only one that knows. You know, God, He knows. And the Holy Spirit has been given to us to help us in this area of prayer. And everything that He prays is for our good and the good of the body of Christ. Because I fit into the body of Christ, I'm a member of the body of Christ, therefore, as He is releasing the will of God to me, and as this intercession, this prayer is taking place, if it's good for me, it's good for you. If it's good for you, it's good for me. Because we're all part of the body of Christ. And if you think of it in physical terms, if it's good for my little toe, it's good for the rest of me. If it's not good for my little toe, it's not good for the rest of me. Smashing my little toe with a hammer is not good for my body. Because my entire body begins to feel the effects of that smashed little toe. Just think, you ever gotten a splinter and it get infected? Doesn't it kind of impact how everything in your, how you take a shower? I mean, everything until you get that splinter out. Well, likewise, you get a head cold, all right? Does it affect the rest of your body? Sure it does. Muscles feel tired, all that kind of stuff. So whatever's good for me is good for you, and whatever's good for you is good for me, because we're all part of the same, the body of Christ. Okay, now, praying in tongues enables the Holy Spirit to pray for us exactly the way a prayer is supposed to be lifted up before God. It enables Him to intercede through us, for us. In other words, if we don't let Him do this, it doesn't really happen. See, the Holy Spirit takes the words He hears, gives them to our spirit, and our spirit transfers them through our soul and out of our mouth. Now, we've talked about this before in great detail, so we don't really have to do a whole lot of that right at this moment. But it's kind of like asking God what we should pray for. Anybody ever done anything like that before? Oh, God, I don't know how I'm supposed to pray about this. You know, God, you got to help me. He says, well, it's no problem. That's what the Holy Spirit has been sent for. He already knows what's supposed to be prayed for and how. Turn Him loose and let Him pray. Let Him intercede. Well, we're speaking the words, but they're coming from God. So as we're praying in tongues, God is getting this message to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows what's supposed to be prayed and how it's supposed to be prayed. And so He's conveying these words to us on a spiritual level, and then we're praying them out, if you will, in a natural level. And it's kind of like the Holy Spirit saying, look, if I had my own natural body like you, this is what I would be praying. Problem is, you know, in our minds, we don't understand the meaning of these words as they're coming out, but it's the perfect will of God. That's the thing about it. When you pray in tongues, you are praying the perfect will of God. You can't be praying anything else. When you're praying in tongues, you are praying issues relative to the kingdom. You're praying eternal truth. You're praying God's word. I didn't say you're praying scripture. I said you're praying God's word. So that alone should convince you that when you pray in tongues, you're praying exactly the way that you should pray at that moment. Now this, you know, it's kind of a mind-boggling thing, but if you give the Holy Spirit 5 minutes, you're praying 5 minutes of perfection. Think about that. That is incredible. But that's exactly the way God's got it worked out. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I know this is somewhat review, but we may be looking at it from maybe kind of a little bit different perspective here. 1 Corinthians 14:2, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries." All right, so we are in direct communication with God, and we're praying mysteries. Now keep your place here in chapter 14, but turn back over to chapter 2. Because in chapter 2, verses 6 through 14, Paul says, "Look, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now this verse 13, where it talks about not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, using this relative to this course, you could say it like this: we don't pray according to the words that man's wisdom teaches, but we pray according to the words that the Holy Ghost teaches. In other words, when you pray in tongues, you are praying words that the Holy Ghost has given you, not words that came from man. I remember one time there was a guy, he was so sincere. The church where he went, they really didn't understand about praying in tongues, but he was Spirit-filled and really excited about praying in tongues and so forth, and he wanted to have a positive impact on the people in his church. So he talked to a minister friend of his, and he says, "Look, could you just do this? Could you pray in tongues and record it so I can take it back and teach the people?" And the minister friend, he was very gracious, and he handled it very well, because you can't record it and take it back and teach people, you know, how to pray. You can't give tongues lessons. You know, you see those, you know, learn how to speak French or Spanish or whatever on audio cassette. Well, you can't have a learn tongues by tape, all right? It doesn't work that way. It only comes from the Holy Ghost. So these are words that the Holy Spirit. And so it says right here in this 13th verse, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, the Holy Ghost is saying, you know, you're looking on the outside, but I'm looking on the inside. I'm more concerned with things relative to the spiritual, the kingdom, spiritual life, and so on and so forth, the will of God. So when you let me, I'm going to convey to you words that come straight from heaven and a language that comes straight from heaven. And you're going to be praying the words that I give you, not that you learned from man. Now turn back over to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll get back to 1 Corinthians 14 here in just a moment. Now, simply put, these mysteries, when Paul talked about we're praying out the mysteries, speaking mysteries unto God in 1 Corinthians 14:2, we saw the expanded version of that in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 14. As we're praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit is, these mysteries, they were kept hidden. The only reason they were kept hidden, because nobody had a nature on the inside that came from God. They were all lost. So it wouldn't have made any difference if they'd known them anyhow, because they really wouldn't have understood them. They didn't have the capacity to understand them, because they didn't have the Spirit which is of God, the born-again nature. They had the Spirit which is of the world, the lost nature. But now that we're born again, God is able, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to convey unto us the spiritual things pertaining to being born again, the fullness of what it means to be born again, everything related to the kingdom. In other words, everything we need to know about what it means to be a child of God. The Holy Spirit begins conveying that to us. In Romans 8, chapter 15, it says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." In other words, he's saying, look, the Holy Ghost is going to bear witness with your spirit. If you go back over there and read what we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, there's a verse in there that talks about that the Holy Spirit is essentially doing this. He's working to convince us that we are the children of God, that we've had this change on the inside. Well, here he talks about that the Spirit's bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here's the thing about it. There are many of us that have been raised in religious situations where we did not... It's like we knew we were the children of God, but we didn't know we were the children of God. You understand what I'm saying? No. It was like, okay, when you understand that you're a child of God, then you understand by His stripes you were healed. When you understand that you're a child of God, you understand that you don't operate under the law or the ordinances surrounding the law. When you understand that you're a child of God, you understand that God forgives you of your sin and He doesn't hold your past against you. I mean, on and on this goes. When you don't understand that you're a child of God, then you're going to relate to God through religion, not through relationship. Okay? The Holy Spirit is trying to get us to the point of understanding the relationship so we get past the religion. The religion's holding us back. The relationship takes us forward, see? Now, He's trying to bear witness with us. And it's like He will bear witness. See, you say, well, yeah, but I mean, He can do that all the time if He wants to. That's right. But if there weren't something else involved other than just the fact He's there, everybody would be coming to this understanding. All you have to do is get born again, and 20 years later, you're going to know these things because the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. So it has to mean more, though, than just being born again, because of the very fact there are so many traditions and so much religious stuff out there that's really teaching you the opposite of what it means to be a child of God. So if the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with us just because we're born again and no other reason, then, I mean, I don't mean any insult to the Holy Ghost, but He's doing a pretty poor job. Because there's so many Christians that don't have a clue what it means to be a child of God. So something else has to be involved. Well, Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, talks about the fact that the Holy Spirit is comparing spiritual to spiritual. And he's using his words, not our words. So therefore, as I'm praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit's going to get involved with me. And what I don't know about being a child of God, what I don't know about kingdom principles, he's conveying that information to me. Because that's where it started, was with God. So I pray in tongues, and he's able to begin conveying this information to me. And I'll tell you, you get somebody, I'll tell you, here, I know this will work because there are too many people that can testify to the fact. You take somebody that's born again and they go to, you know, I'll use my background, a Baptist church. But you get them born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and you convince them to start praying in tongues. That. Just convince them why they need to pray in tongues. And so they start praying in tongues. They don't have to get my tapes or anybody else's tapes. All they have to do is start praying in tongues. And the day's going to come, they're going to start feeling uncomfortable with a lot of what's being preached and taught. You know why? It's because the Holy Spirit is depositing into their spirit knowledge about what it means to be a child of God. And suddenly they're going to start hearing things. It's like, boy, you know what? I know the pastor preached that before, but something about it this time just doesn't sound right. I'm not sure what it is. Well, they keep praying in tongues, they're going to understand what it is because the Holy Spirit's going to be able to walk them through Scripture and show them what's been missing in their life. So now turn back over to 1 Corinthians 14. So these mysteries that I'm praying are mysteries related to what it means to be a child of God and to be born again. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Edifying ourselves. He prays through us what is lacking in our edification so that it will be complete. Here's the interesting thing about that. As he's praying for us, as far as this edification is concerned, and this whole prayer process, we don't know how to pray these things, but he does. So it's like we're praying for ourselves, but technically, he's praying for us. See what I'm saying? It's kind of like I mentioned, you know, oh God, how do I pray? It's like the Holy Spirit, you know, He's sitting here, and I decide to get involved with Him. So I come over and I say, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, I need to give an offering to get healed. What do you think about that? He's going to say, no. All you have to do is believe that by His stripes you were healed. Okay? But instead of it coming out like that, I go to Him and I'm praying. And He already knows on the inside of me, I've been suckered into giving offerings to have a healing manifest. So as I'm praying in tongues, He's telling me what to pray. You need to pray and convince yourself that by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. That's God's Word. So I'm praying in tongues. I don't even realize that's what I'm praying. But what He's doing is trying to get that mystery confirmed to me so that I'm no longer relying on the religion of man. I'm relying on the truth of God in that area of my life. And that's how it would work in any area where we believe incorrectly. He's helping us. So here we are in this edification process. And edification, it's not simply about power. It's also about spiritual maturity. And the problem is that there are a lot of Christians who confuse natural emotional maturity and responsibility as being indicative of spiritual maturity. But spiritual maturity is measured in part by how much we know of the mysteries and how much of those mysteries that we walk in. Now let me. This is going to be a tough one maybe for some people to really understand, but let me try to bring it home. We look at many, let's just use pastors as an example. We look at a lot of pastors who are, they carry themselves very well. You know, they present themselves as, you know, the very pastoral. They're very kind, they're very loving, they're very sincere. They love God. There's no sin in their life. I mean, they're, you know, what you would think the epitome of a pastor. And they've been like this now for 35 years. Boy, everybody likes them. Everybody loves them. Well respected in the community. On and on it goes. But when they stand up and they are preaching, say, against the gifts of the Spirit, or preaching, you know, against tongues, preaching that healing's not for today, you know, whatever. In some churches, they preach, you know, if you're not baptized in water, then you're not born again. I mean, all these different kinds of things that are out there. In the natural, they come across as being extremely mature. But God's not looking at how they present themselves. He's looking at what's in their heart, what they believe, and what they are teaching other people. If what they're teaching other people, if 75% of it doesn't line up with His Word, they're not mature. Because it's based on who you are in Christ and what you know about that. It's based upon what you know about kingdom principles. It's based upon those kind of mysteries. That's why you could have somebody who's been born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, 5 years, but they've been spending this time praying in tongues, and they've been spending this time in the Word of God, and spiritually they're going to be more mature than the guy that's been pastoring for 40 years and has all the respect of the people in the church, community, and everything else. Because we're not talking natural respect. We are talking, or maturity, we're talking about spiritual maturity. The edification takes us not just about the power, but it's talking also about taking us into the spiritual maturity that God desires for us. Look in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. We don't see what God sees concerning what we need the most, and our understanding is typically focused on immediate needs, is it not? And in part, we long-range needs, we only know those on a limited basis. But God knows everything that we need long-term. No matter what it would be, He already knows. So therefore, as we're praying, and we're praying in the Spirit, part of this praying, we're interceding. The Holy Ghost is interceding through us, for us, relative to everything that we need, personal and ministry-wise. But the problem is, if I don't think I need something, I'm not going to pray for it, correct? Okay, listen, very simple example. People that don't believe they need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, they're not going to pray for it, are they not? But what does the Holy Ghost think about that? He knows they need it, right? Okay, that's a simple illustration. There are things we may not think we need. Or there may be things that, boy, yeah, got to have that. That's very important. Because that's what we think. Holy Spirit's saying, uh-uh. What you think you need, you don't. And what you don't, you do. So I'm going to pray according to what you do. If I told you what I'm praying, you wouldn't like this. See, you don't want to move to Alaska and start a church, but I know that's what you need to do. You can't handle that knowledge right now, but if you keep letting me pray through you, I'll help you begin to see that you want to go to Alaska and start a church. Now, I'm not prophesying to anybody, okay? I'm just using that. But you understand what I'm saying here. In Jude 20, it talks about, but ye beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit knows what we lack concerning our living by faith, and He enables us to pray about those shortcomings. See, you don't know how far short you are when it comes to living by faith until you start living at a higher level of faith. Then you look back and realize how you weren't living in the past. But back then, you may not have realized that. Well, see, you pray in tongues. He helps you get past some of these things so that you can start living in greater levels of faith the way that you're supposed to. And I realize we're kind of breezing through some of these, but with everything we've taught on in the past, you know, it's not necessary to go too deep. Look back over in Romans chapter 8. Once again, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now in Romans 8, 15 through 17, 1 Corinthians 14, 2, 1 Corinthians 14, 4, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 and Jude 20 all reveal the Holy Spirit interceding for us through us. But Romans 8, 26 through 28 reveal the Holy Spirit interceding through us, for us and others. And there are times, well, let's get into the times thing a little bit here in just a moment. In Romans 8, 26 through 28, he's praying for us. When I pray in tongues, Romans 8, 26 through 28, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying for me, I'm praying for you. But it's as the Holy Spirit decides what is necessary. So I can go to Him and say, well, you know, Holy Spirit, I want to pray for Bob and Susie and Bill and Joan. And then I start praying in tongues. He may be saying, well, that's maybe what you want to pray for. But I need you to pray for, you know, Ed and Bill and these people over here who just got locked up in prison for being missionaries in Angola. So you pray and you let me pray through you, but I'm going to pray through you for them, because right now that is a priority. We need to do something because these guys are facing execution tomorrow morning. I want you praying for them. Well, I'm praying in tongues. I really don't know for sure, but the Holy Spirit is making intercession through me on their behalf, see? So when it comes to the Holy Spirit and intercession, when we're praying in tongues, we can be praying for ourselves, but it's really Him praying for us. He's just telling us what to pray. So it's working both ways there. You see what I'm saying? But at the same time, when we're praying in tongues, we can also be interceding. I mean, hey, I don't know. When I'm praying in tongues, I may be praying for every one of you, which is fine with me if that's what the Holy Spirit wants. I just pray in tongues because I know I get results from it. Praise God. I know it works. So we could look at it from this perspective. Who cares what it's about? Just do it. You get the benefits from it. It's a type of intercession that gives you guaranteed results. And see, what, you know, you talk about investing money and getting, you know, return on your money and all this other, and everything's iffy. There is no iffy when it comes to praying in tongues. You have guaranteed results. No matter what people say, you have guaranteed results when you pray in tongues. It can't fail. It's impossible for praying in tongues not to come to pass. The thing is, we have to understand that the Holy Ghost is going to pray through us according to what needs to be prayed for at that time. Maybe me, maybe you, maybe somebody across the world, doesn't matter. But the results are guaranteed. And there are times, if you see here in verse 26 where it talks about the groanings which cannot be uttered, some people refer to that as travailing in the Spirit. And there are times when the Holy Spirit will move on us to travail in the Spirit. And that travailing in the Spirit is when it's like you're almost overcome by the emotions. And it's almost like you can't control. You know, the words are coming out in tongues, but it's almost like you're crying the words out instead of just like communicating, talking the words, the tongues out. And there are some people who refer to that as true intercession. And when you talk about intercession to them, that's what they mean, the travailing in the Spirit. They don't mean anything that we've covered to this point. And you might ask them, do you ever have times of intercession at your church? And their response might be, if the Spirit moves upon people for that, yes. Well, they're thinking of travailing. You're simply thinking of people coming together for the purpose of interceding on behalf of other people. You understand what I'm like, me praying for you, you know, and praying in the understanding and then also praying in tongues and so forth. When it comes to the pure definition of the word intercession, it doesn't always mean travailing in the Spirit. However, travailing in the Spirit is a part of intercession. That's also included in that. So I wanted to clear that up for you, because there are some folks that are rather dogmatic about, you know, one or the other. But the bottom line is, concerning all of this, unless a Christian prays in tongues, everything that we've covered, all these verses that we've looked at, will never become a complete reality in our lives. It can't happen, because you can't get praying in tongues results if you don't pray in tongues. Now, you can grow spiritually to a point. That's guaranteed because of the Word of God. You can grow spiritually to a point if you're willing to receive truth over tradition. But when it comes to getting the praying in tongues results and the depth of the relationship with God that praying in tongues can produce, if you don't pray in tongues, it's not going to happen. And it isn't that God doesn't want it to happen. It's just that you're not giving the Holy Spirit the opportunity to pray through you in that form of intercession so that the results can be produced. So again, I want to encourage you, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost work in you that which is in accordance with God's perfect will, and get what God's Word has shown us. Get the results that praying in tongues can produce. It's an absolute guarantee. Praise the Lord. Father, we want to thank You for Your Word. We thank You for what we're learning about intercession. Father, we thank You that Jesus is there on the mercy seat for us. We thank You that we can be there, and that Jesus leads us into Your presence. And Father, it's mind-boggling for us to try to grasp the fullness of this. But I thank You for the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit helps us understand these things more and more. So Father, again, tonight, Your Word has gone forth, and we receive it as seed sown deeply into our hearts and declare that it will produce the fruit that it's supposed to produce. As we leave tonight, Father, we just ask for, and by faith we do receive, Your divine protection. We love You, and Jesus, we give You all the glory. In Your name, Jesus, amen. Praise God. See you next time.